Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Every Wednesday, we pop it out here on WGR550.com. Derek Kramer, Frank R. Curie, hanging out. Thanks for hanging out with us and taking the time to listen
Absolutely.
To us prattle on. And, you know, we enjoy that you take time out of your day, though, to listen to us. We appreciate it, and we'll try to keep everything going for you here. So, the NFL Combine, it's come, it's passed. And you know what? I could care less. And the football guy, yeah, the guy that the draft
yeah,
guy
that's weird.
At GR doesn't
that's
care
weird.
About the combine. You want to know why? Because one simple thing, it's so overhyped. It has become this, like, it's so over-sensationalized now by the NFL media. And I mean, with fair reason, you want to try to do anything you can to help get through the offseason. And trust me, there are some trying times in the offseason. When the draft passes, good luck getting anything out of anyone.
Yeah.
But
true.
The combine is so overhyped that it truly does not matter for me anymore. I don't care about it. It's never been that important. There are some guys that can help validate themselves a little bit, but it's not enough to go ahead and flip the script and go, oh, this guy's going in the first round because he ran a nice 40.
Yeah, we know. And it's something you know that we've noticed.
Let's go with the biggest example for that, you know, before we dive deeper into this. One of the best examples I've got, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown, wide receiver, Notre Dame. 6'5", runs himself a 4.4 40.
Okay.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
He's 4.48.
Yeah.
You know, for that guy, for that size, you know, that's fantastic. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to make teams go back and go, what did we miss? That's the biggest thing. It's going to make teams go back to that film and go, okay, this guy's faster than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Does it translate to game speed?
Typically, it doesn't.
Typically, it doesn't. But if you notice something, and if something is pointed out to you, and you go back looking for it, you tend to find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the other thing.
Yeah.
It may be perceptive, and it may not be accurate, but sometimes that's what that's just what happens. However, it's not going to change anything. I think, you know, St. Brown is a guy flirting with the bottom of the first round and probably easily a second rounder.
And do you think that's fair for him?
Yes.
Okay.
That's originally where I thought he would go.
Okay.
And for me, that doesn't change.
Yeah. It shouldn't change.
He's got a little bit better straight line speed than many thought, but at the same time, is it really going to be enough to really
cause
a problem? You have to severely, and I mean severely, bomb it. Or you have to kill it in every sort of simple way at the combine for your draft stock to actually change.
Look at Teddy Bridgewater.
That was a pro day, so that's different.
Oh, pro day. Sorry, I thought that was combine.
Yeah. However.
Even still, like.
But that didn't even kill it anyway. He still went in the first round.
Was it the last pick, though? Wait, was he hyped? Was he expected to be like one of the top quarterbacks?
He should have went like top five.
Yeah. Exactly.
But. Look, I think that there's something, though, to, you know, pro days might make more sense of that, because if you don't have a good pro day, that's when you're coordinated with everyone else that you know. You have receivers you know you're throwing to. Scripted plays. If you manage to flounder that, well, there might be a problem. And Bridgewater, unfortunately, he didn't have the greatest of a pro day. He also tried something different. He tried wearing two gloves.
Yeah.
And it was the first time he was doing it. So that's just something that happens.
Yeah. It's the same thing in the NHL, too, with the combine.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much merit into what you do on the ice, but it's good to know these things. Like, Sam Bennett couldn't do a pull-up at the combine, and people were raving, and neither did Casey Mittelstadt. Does that affect what they do on the ice?
God, no, because one's a bust, and one's looking like the next godson.
Although Sam Bennett is looking more like a bust as he went fourth overall to Calgary.
But
Mittelstadt
is looking like the second coming.
Yeah.
But again, with the NFL Combine, you have to really tank it. And we actually got one of those cases. Orlando Brown.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
Bro, Orlando Brown, he didn't do himself a lot of favors. Brown has been projected anywhere from the top 10 to the bottom of the first round. It's really an in-between with him.
Yeah.
And this might actually alter it. Because you go ahead and it makes you start asking questions mm-hmm. when you bomb the combine like that. Orlando Brown put up only 14 bench reps as an offensive lineman. He put up almost a 6-second 40 time.
Oof.
Bro, I could run a 6-second 40 time, and I am not an athlete. I could probably run better than that. Granted, I'm not 300 pounds, but I'm also not a finely tuned collegiate athlete either.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you have such a bad showing in the combine, it makes you go back to the tape, just like how if you do something well, you go back to the tape.
Mm-hmm.
The tape is what matters first.
Right.
And now you're going to see these teams looking at Orlando Brown and saying, you know, Big 12 isn't necessarily known for its defense. Hell, the best pass rusher in the Big 12 belonged to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I've read to go up against them. Ogoronko.
Yeah.
So what am I getting here, Orlando Brown? Is he bending at the waist? Is he reaching? Are there technical flaws that are being covered up by a bad defensive conference? That's one of the big things that you have to look for. And if you're seeing that, well, then there's a problem.
Then you're especially for
that's
his stock.
When draft stock can take a hit.
Yeah.
That said, I'm definitely putting out a post combine mock draft.
That'll be up soon. That'll be up.
Now, one thing that annoys me more, though, than the overhyping of the combine is saying the winners and losers and not being accurate about it. I'm sorry, but I don't know why anyone would ever say that Josh Rosen had a bad combine. He killed the interview process. Everyone that's spoken on Josh Rosen, while some degree of anonymity, nothing but raving reviews about Josh Rosen in the interview room.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Rosen killed the interviews. And throwing the ball to receivers that he had never really practiced with, timing-wise, everything like that, he still threw everything like he was the top quarterback of this draft.
Mm-hmm.
He should go number one overall. He should. I don't know if he will. But seeing Rosen throwing and dealing like he did at the combine, same with Baker Mayfield, I could see why Sam Darnold didn't throw at the combine now. Probably didn't want to look bad. Standing next to those two, it's pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but the top six still did. Actually, you know what? I'll even throw a top seven. Kyle Lauletta has kind of locked his place.
Mm-hmm.
Top seven still looks like the top seven. You know, Rosen and Mayfield are looking like the one and two. After that, Darnold, you know, obviously we didn't get to see him throw, which is a little bit of a sad thing. But, you know, there's a lot of people still raving about him. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, both of them have the inconsistency issues dealing with proper technique.
Yeah.
And, Frank, you know I'm a big Lamar Jackson fan. When I can say that honestly, you know that means something. You know, take off the blinders for a second. I love the guy. I think he's rated as my QB3.
And for a reason.
And people think that's a hot take.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm standing by it. I think he's better than Darnold. However, it's undeniable at this point that Mayfield and Rosen are your top two. Not necessarily in that order, but I think it's Rosen, I think it's Mayfield, then I think it's Jackson.
So let me ask you this real quick. Based on your ranks, you got Rosen 1, Mayfield 2, Lamar 3, Darnold 4?
Darnold 4.
Would you say, though,
Rudolph and Allen are tied at 5.
Okay. But would you say, though, that a guy like Sam Darnold has a higher ceiling than Lamar Jackson?
No.
I think
the two of them, when it comes to boom or bust potential, carry the same weight.
Okay.
Because Darnold has a funky release, and Jackson has a narrow base. Guess which one's easier to correct?
Fair.
Furthermore, these sorts of things don't really matter, seeing as how the NFL really kind of adopting spread concepts.
Yeah.
But Lamar Jackson ran full field coverages. Darnold did sometimes too, but you really kind of saw more of a spread option offense
mm-hmm.
through Darnold. Darnold ran more run pass options than Jackson did.
Yeah.
Jackson's running came on designed run calls by Bobby Petrino because he knew how special Lamar Jackson was running the football.
Right.
It was a lot of designed runs. Jackson likes to try to hang in the pocket. as a passer.
Mm-hmm.
If he realizes by the time his third read's out and he's run out of time on that internal clock, he's out of there. Why? Because he knows he can do it. And it's a better chance than trying to hang in there and getting blasted by someone.
I asked the question about Darnold and the ceiling because while you're looking at the NFL draft, I'm looking at the NHL draft. And based on what's going on in the NHL draft this year, there's a lot of really good defensemen available. For the Sabres, being able to pick high, that's a big benefit for them. We got Rasmus Dahlin at one. For defenseman only, I have Adam Boqvist, another Swedish defenseman who's a right-handed, as a number two. Quinn Hughes playing at the University of Michigan, three.
Quinn Hughes has been a very popular one.
And Quinn Hughes has been very popular, yes. I was talking with Brayton Wilson about it yesterday. He loves Quinn Hughes because of his skating ability.
Mm-hmm.
And Quinn Hughes and his skating ability is fantastic. When I look at Boqvist compared to Hughes, I look at Quinn Hughes as a more well-rounded defenseman who's an excellent skater. I look at Adam Boqvist as another excellent skater, but his ceiling, I think, is much higher than a Quinn Hughes. I look at Boqvist's ceiling as that mirrors a Rasmus Dahlin. Not exact, but it mirrors it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't see that same ceiling with Hughes. So when I look at where the Sabres are probably going to draft if it goes in order, let's say it sticks with the order. Right now, the Sabres are drafting two, as they normally do.
Some team is going to jump it.
Yeah, no, but so. I'm just saying if you're going based off it right now without the lottery, if you have the second pick, Dahlin's going one, I go Boqvist at two. Over Quinn Hughes. And you don't need to draft a forward because they got forwards coming up.
All right. So
that's why I asked about Darnold and his ceiling.
Look, a lot of people like Sam Darnold. He's a likable guy. I just don't like him as much as others do.
Yeah.
I'm not in an NFL front office. So all I have is an opinion, and that's just about it. So I don't get the opinion, the paycheck, and the opportunity to actually draft him.
Based on what you're saying and based on what we're also reading too, Darnold seems like that guy where you're going to draft him. You're probably going to draft him high, but he's still going to need. He might still need a year.
Cleveland can't offer that,
and a team like Cleveland can't offer that. Yeah,
Giants could.
Yeah,
I still think Rosen's got to go number one.
Rosen should. He really should.
There's no way.
He has to.
He has to. He's one of the best players in this draft.
Yeah. He's probably the best player.
No, that is Saquon Barkley, and it's not even close. Yo, if Cleveland takes Barkley at one and screws this up,
they don't even need to.
That's peak Cleveland.
They can get it's legit possible that they can get Rosen and Barkley.
Yes,
it's very possible. It's very likely.
Or Darnold and Barkley, if they wanted it.
Wanted to do that too, they could do that.
Whoever they want at the quarterback, just take that guy at one.
Yeah.
Take every other option off the table of maybe we don't get this guy.
You could draft Rosen at one. The Giants at two, assuming there's no trades, would likely take Darnold. You got the Colts at three. They're probably going to go defense.
They're going to trade.
They are
trading.
But if they don't. Who would they take? Bradley Chubb? Do they take a Micah Fitzpatrick?
They would need probably defensive help more than anything.
So you probably go with a Fitzpatrick, more likely, or a Chubb. And that leaves Barkley open at four.
Exactly.
For Cleveland. That's perfect. That's a best case scenario for them.
If Cleveland plays themselves, you totally deserve to have your quarterback flop. Sorry. Not sorry. By the way, I love how Lamar Jackson put that to bed, that wide receiver thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he should. Teams. He should have.
Teams asking him to do wide receiver drills. You know what I would say? I'd say the words bite me. Can we say that?
Yeah, we can say that.
Okay. Bite me. Those would be the words I'd say. But he went the higher route and he said if he is going to be asked about it, he would say, congratulations, you know, nice meeting you. Can't wait to beat you. It's awesome.
I love that.
You know, he didn't say that word for word, but it was basically the kind of thing where he just said, you know, I'm not interested in playing wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested. I'm a quarterback. I'm playing quarterback. That's what I do best.
Yeah. I did notice, I didn't like Schefter's tweet, Adam Schefter, that there's a team that does have Lamar Jackson as a second-rated quarterback in the draft.
I think he Freudian slipped it and put Houston in there. Because it said the original tweet was Houston quarterback Lamar Jackson. not Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson.
Well, it's,
that might have been a Freudian slip that Houston had him rated as second, which is irrelevant for them. They have Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
But if a team manages to value him that high, well, there you go. I'm not suspecting it was full Freudian slip, but I'm, of course, going to believe that a quarterback needy team thinks that Jackson's that good. Why? Because he is that good.
Yeah, he is. He is.
I have him rated at three, not because of how good he is. I have him rated at three because Rosen and Mayfield are kind of clearing the rest of the competition out. And I like Lamar, and I'm able to say that. I like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Love Lamar Jackson. And at the same time, game got a recognized game. Mayfield and Rosen are just too good at this point to be denied.
So at this point,
can we talk about one more thing on the combine?
Sure. Sure.
Quit pushing narratives on me, people.
I hate narratives.
I try not to do it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't pushing narratives on anyone. You know what I'm pushing? I'm pushing what I truly believe. And if it's stupid, it's stupid. And you can call me stupid for it. Go ahead. At Derek Kramer WGR. But at least I'm willing to recognize that it's stupid, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lamar Jackson might backfire on me. And it's not because of a narrative. It's because of what I see. What I firmly look at with my two eyes is a guy that not only can make these throws, but if you fix that base, make that narrow base into a wider base, because what happens, Frank, when you're playing quarterback is if you have a narrow base, you step in, and when you step in, that arm dips.
Yeah.
If you've got the wider base already, you're only doing a little shuffle. That's not going to change the angle of your arm.
Right.
So when you could do that, when you fix that base, those short throws, those intermediate and long, Jackson can hit those all day.
Mm-hmm.
It's short throws, strangely enough, that he has the biggest problem. And the out throws to the sidelines.
Right, right.
When you're dipping it, your arm angle changes, and that's why passes can soar. That's why they hit the ground. That's why there's problems with consistency because of the base.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, guy that doesn't set his feet very often. He played a lot of hero ball in his junior season.
Yeah.
But even in his sophomore season, same thing. A lot of the, you know, not setting his feet all the time. When you hone your technique, things come out cleaner. He has all the arm power in the world. Time to turn it into arm talent by refining technique.
Right.
And that's why he's no longer cleanly at number six. I have him tied with Mason Rudolph for a reason now, because he has been looking better, because he's, you know, when he's throwing these things, you know, through the Senior Bowl, he didn't have to be a hero. He looked better. Why? He didn't have to play hero. He was able to set his feet.
Yeah.
Of course, balls are going to come out more accurately. If you can keep that going, then you have a chance at really making something happen.
Okay.
But do not push this narrative on me that Josh Allen was the best quarterback at the combine. First off, you're lying.
Yeah.
Why are you always lying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Second off, it's not the first time I've heard these things. That's probably why I resisted the idea of Josh Allen right away, was because it was being pushed into my head, because, you know, that's not what I'm seeing with my eyes, but it's being forced upon me, and I didn't like it. I went back and I decided to try to be a little more objective to everything. Tried to open my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I am willing to do that. I'm willing to do that with any argument you've got for me at Derek Kramer WGR at Frank R. Kieran. I'm willing to do that with any argument. It's a skill not many people have anymore. Willing to look into the other side of things. Playing devil's advocate in the side of an argument.
Look at all the sides.
Have. Look at both sides of things.
Yeah, look at everything.
It's not just a thing in sports, it's a thing in life, people.
Pretty much. The way the politics is going on.
I'm dodging.
Yeah, we're done with that. We're done with politics. I deal with it enough.
Dodge. Nimbly dodged. But when you try to force a narrative on me, that's when I'm going to get annoyed. That's when I'm going to get angry.
Yeah.
That's when I'm going to froth at the mouth. Okay? Look, if you like a guy, you like a guy.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to respect that other people are going to like other guys.
Just like how I like Adam Boqvist a lot.
Yeah.
In the NHL draft.
Just like how I like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But when you push a narrative on me, Jackson's Tyrod Taylor 2.0. You know,
he should be a receiver.
He should be a receiver. Some clown on Twitter had a problem with how he had his index finger at the top of a football. You know who else does that? A lot of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Kurt Warner dragged him on it.
Yeah, amazing. I saw that, and that was funny. That was really funny. And good on Kurt Warner, too.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So.
And Kurt Warner was one of the most accurate quarterbacks ever.
But again, lol narratives.
Yeah. They're just dumb narratives.
Sabres are better without Jack Eichel.
That's a stupid narrative.
That's a thing.
I know.
That's a narrative. That's a freaking thing.
I know.
You don't know how that was so much that was a thing? A reporter yesterday asked Housley about it.
That's so dumb.
We made it, Frank. We got there.
We got there. We did it, people.
I'm not going to call the guy out by name, but he knows who he is.
He knows who he is.
You know who you are. You did it.
Yeah.
You've been doing this whole thing, this journalist thing, for a long time. Why'd you do it?
Yeah.
You're better than that.
So, you're fine with the Bills drafting Josh Allen.
I am fine with it because the Bills offer something for Josh Allen that some teams might make him bust for. The Bills are probably going to find a way to make sure that whoever they draft at quarterback is not forcing the fire if they're not ready.
Yes,
Lamar Jackson could come in day one.
Yes.
Would it help him if he sat out 6 to 8 games? Refine that base.
Get it? So, and that means you got to get...
Could it mean he sits out his first season, refining his technique?
It sure does.
Yes. Same thing goes for Josh Allen.
Yeah. And you can't take it off the table, too, for any of the other quarterbacks.
Mason Rudolph, you can sit him a whole year if you need to. I hate to say this, but hey, maybe the Bills keep Tyrod for this last season of a contract.
Yeah, and that's something I've been thinking about, too.
It's something Bills fans don't want to hear.
You don't want to hear it, but at the same time...
But sadly enough, I have to state this, but he was good enough in a very conservative offense. Rick Dennison, I hope you go ahead and choke the Jets' offense to death with your super terrible offense.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrod was better in a different offense than Rick Dennison's.
Yeah.
He got worse.
Yeah.
Because the offense predicated him to do something that he was not good at.
Yeah.
Square peg, round hole. Try it. Doesn't work. Rex Ryan did the same thing with the freaking defense.
Mm-hmm.
Defense was built for a 4-3.
Yep.
Next thing you know, he's like, I have to have my 3-4 because I'm Rex Ryan. You know what that got you? Fired after 2 years.
Dennison.
We're gonna run a zone blocking scheme. Our guys are good with power, man. Offensive line's power blockers. Tyrod Taylor, he's gonna stay in the pocket. He's gonna throw over the middle. Tyrod don't like doing that. He's one of the better deep ball quarterbacks in the NFL, man.
Yeah.
What did that get you, Dennison? Fired after one season.
Fired after 17 games.
Great coaches know how to adapt to their players.
Yes.
Doug Peterson.
Look at that.
He knew what he had in Nick Foles after Carson Wentz went down. He fine-tuned his offense for the playoffs to better suit Nick Foles and what he did under Chip Kelly's offense while still keeping the main concepts of his offense intact.
Yeah.
But he still tuned it to his quarterback.
Yep.
His backup quarterback, I should say. And now Nick Foles is a guy who might be a trade piece.
Yeah. It's true. He's now a Super Bowl winning quarterback who won MVP.
He's a Super Bowl MVP now.
Yeah, Nick Foles is a Super Bowl MVP.
Case Keenum, Jared Goff, Nick Foles all had their careers wake up. Jeff Fisher, whatever you did to football, we want it back. You wasted a lot of people's years.
Yeah.
We want that back.
Yeah.
I want him to get hired just so that he can take the all-time L's list. He's one shy.
Is he really?
He's one shy of the all-time L's of her head coaches. Look it up.
So wait, is he one shy of tying the record, or is he tied for it now?
One short of tying it.
Wow. That's
why I hated that he got fired mid-season in his last year with the Rams.
I gotta look this up.
Go ahead. Look it up. NFL career coaching losses.
I'm gonna look that up. Yeah. Give me a second.
It's a good name at the top of it, actually. It's
really?
Just because he was in the league for so long. But he's got a better win percentage than Jeff Fisher does.
Coaching wins. No. Coaching losses.
That's right.
Losing is coach. It's a great one.
Okay, who's at the top of that list there, Frank?
Getting to it now. Gotta go Pro Football Reference.
Gotta go Pro Football Reference.
Gotta sort it by losses. He's tied, actually.
He is tied.
Dan Reeves.
Yeah, Dan Reeves.
Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah, he's tied with Dan Reeves. 165 losses.
How many wins does Dan Reeves have compared to Jeff Fisher?
Dan Reeves has 190. Mm-hmm. Jeff Fisher has 173. Reeves also has two ties. Jeff Fisher is one.
But again,
Bill Belichick is 17th on this list, by the way.
So that's because he's been there for so long. So
I know. Yeah. Tom Coughlin's fifth.
Yeah. But yeah. Look at the win percentage, though, of the top of that list. Who's got the lowest?
Yeah.
It's Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, it is Jeff Fisher. For the top 10, it's Jeff Fisher. But yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Dude sucks. I want him to get hired for one game and then fired after he loses it. Because Dan Reeves don't deserve to be tied with Jeff Fisher for anything. I hate Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher sucks. Yeah.
And he tries to claim, I'm the reason all those quarterbacks did well. Yeah, it's because you stopped coaching them.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
That's the reason.
That's why they did well.
Yep.
It's because of you
not
coaching anymore.
Yeah.
So take your L.
Just one more L, and it's all yours.
It's not official, though.
It's not. It's not. It's sad. I hope the Cleveland Browns fire Hugh Jackson after week 16 next year and hire Jeff Fisher as their interim.
For week 17.
For week 17. And they lose that game.
You tank that game.
Players tank that game.
Tank that game, Cleveland. Tank it. Go 0-16 again. Live the dream.
That would be awesome.
Live the dream.
That would be funny. Oh, God. They do that.
Cleveland actually is a pretty hot spot, though.
All that cap space.
All the cap space.
They could go nowhere but up, apparently.
Yeah, you can't do worse than 0-16. You can do the same.
But you can find a way to make it worse.
By going 0-16 again.
And being worse than the previous 0-16.
Not really. You go 0-16, you go 0-16.
I'm talking like stat-wise.
I'm talking like record-wise. You literally can't do worse.
No, you can't.
You can only do the same.
Yeah. No, record-wise, yeah, you can only do the same.
Look, we lost track. I don't know where we are. This happens. Welcome
Jeff
to Leftovers.
Jeff Fisher takes an L.
Welcome to the Leftovers podcast.
Where Jeff Fisher takes another L.
So, look.
Bit of information right here, actually. Let me interrupt. Former Texas linebacker Brian Cushing visiting with the Seahawks today.
Okay, great. He'll get suspended after six games for steroid use.
Yeah. And speaking of Seahawks, they traded Michael Bennett.
And they might be letting go of Richard Sherman.
Yeah. A lot of changes.
Changes are happening in Seattle.
Secondary is pretty much gone now because
Cam Chancellor's probably going to have to retire.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas is the only thing that's left.
Yeah.
Legion of Boom is gone.
It's gone.
The fellowship is disbanded.
Yep.
Now, for God's sakes, could you get an offensive line for Russell Wilson?
No. Because they traded Michael Bennett to Philly, the defending champs, for a depth receiver.
Who? Whom?
Was it like Marcus Johnson?
What? There better be a pick going back.
It was Bennett and a seventh for Johnson and a fifth.
Insert blinking dot gif.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what
you know what that tells me? That tells me cap dump.
Yeah.
Seattle's on a cap dump.
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy Graham's likely not coming back.
But again, for the love of God, get Russell Wilson an offensive line.
Yeah.
I'm sick of having to see the guy running for his life.
Yeah.
Granted, sometimes the best plays he has are when he runs for his life. But it's not fair to him.
It's not. At some point, it's going to come back. He's going to, at some point.
I mean, good for Seattle to have gotten a Super Bowl. They should have had two.
Mm-hmm.
you know, in that window. But, you know, at least better to get one than none.
Yeah, two appearances.
Two appearances, two straight appearances. Yeah. And, you know, one taking it home.
Yeah.
You know, if you only ran that other one in.
If only you ran it.
Only you ran that other one in.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
All right. So,
but
where the hell are we here? Narratives. That's where we were last at, and then we, I don't know.
Got off track.
That spiraled. That spiraled fast. That's what happens here when we get to rant for 40 minutes.
It's great.
And thank you for always listening. Look, there's a couple of things I wanted to touch on here, too. And one of them was, look, I don't care how bad the Sabre season is. I don't care if we're about to be destined for 31st again. First off, it's never worth it to tank ever again.
Yeah. At least
we did it for the last season where you could beat the odds. So it was rather awesome to see Toronto get their teeth kicked in by Buffalo on the scoreboard.
Yeah. Despite Toronto
having a 3-1 ratio in the fans.
Yeah, in the fans, and pretty much dominating the whole game.
They dominated.
Sabres still won.
Sabres played well for two periods.
They did.
They got a very great start, and then they collected themselves through the first period. Second period was very balanced, and all of the puck luck went Buffalo's way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, what's interference?
We still don't know.
Is it?
I'm gonna go with everything and nothing at the same time.
Hmm.
The same thing as what is a catch?
Well, I mean they're simplifying the catch rule now, so I guess NHL's turn. Oh wait, I was thinking the NHL was gonna do something smart. Oh, what am I, stupid? Yes.
Yes.
God, what a naive thought of me there. The NHL would do something smart.
Yeah.
Come on.
But
what am I thinking here?
The real question is, who are these Sabres? Because not only did they beat Toronto past couple weeks, they've also beaten Boston
twice
and Tampa
twice.
The top three teams in the Atlantic.
They're 6-1-1 in their last 8 games against the Atlantic. They're lost in regulation to Florida.
Florida's also been really hot as of late, too.
Also, the Sabres just can't solve Florida for some reason.
Yeah.
For some reason. I don't know what it is. Never will.
Don't know.
But, yeah, no, there's a... You saw Rasmus Ristolainen in that game against Toronto really being what Phil Housley wanted him to be.
Yeah.
He was getting deep into the zone. A lot of that forechecking action. He was tough. He was nasty. Mm-hmm. He was putting pucks through. They were getting into the net. You know, low shots, tippable shots. And Ristolainen looked like the guy that everyone was hoping he would be.
Yeah.
Now tonight they face Calgary. They face Ottawa the next night. 4 games in 6 days, including Vegas.
I'm going to that game.
I'm probably going to get tickets for that game. I mean, I want to see Vegas.
I've already got tickets.
I want to see that team. I mean, hell, half my fantasy hockey team is Vegas Golden Knights.
It's true.
I wish I was lying. Well, but again, nobody cares about your fantasy team. but no, we're about to see here. You know, 4 games to 6 days. But again, look, if you're one of those people that has said it on Twitter, I'm not even going to look on Facebook. That don't count anymore. but if you're one of those people on Twitter that has tweeted out that the Sabres are better without Jack Eichel,
ugh,
may I introduce you to one of these fresh, delicious Tide Pods. I mean, no. That's a little rough.
No, that's a little rough. That's an old meme.
That's a little excessive at this point.
That's an old meme.
Shut up, Frank. Nobody asked you. I was just telling people to basically, yeah, you know what? That's probably a bad idea.
Yeah, you should stop.
Poison themselves.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Please.
But you know what else you shouldn't do? Think that the Sabres are better without Eichel. It's
not true.
This team is playing more desperate. Absolutely. Sometimes there's a lot of Eichel watching going on when he's got the puck on his stick. Fair. But Eichel at most is out there 20 minutes a game, people.
Yeah.
Where was the production coming? Where was the balance coming from when he was in? There wasn't any balance.
At the beginning of the season, there wasn't.
Beginning, middle?
But since, but even before Eichel's injury, that month of the whole month of January, and then up until Eichel got hurt, guys like Sam Reinhart and Ryan O'Reilly were playing really well, like playing up to their potential pretty much. Reinhart, they're both around a point a game plus.
You're seeing scoring from the bottom six now as well.
Yeah,
Girgensons, Larson, scoring goals. I mean, Scott Wilson got hot.
Scott Wilson is scoring goals too, yeah.
The beginning of the season, the bottom six was a joke outside of Benoit Pouliot. Mm-hmm. Reinhart got bumped to the bottom six because he was playing so bad.
Yep.
What is this team? We don't truly know. First off, I'm glad for Sam Reinhart right now.
I'm very happy.
That he's playing well, not just after the calendar tune of 2018, but especially right now with Jack Eichel out.
Yeah.
He is playing in a way right now that is indicative of a second overall pick. He's producing.
Yep.
He's playing well. He's playing smart.
I'm seeing him lead the charge more.
He's leading the charge more. He's getting more minutes. He's actually taking advantage of this.
Yeah.
Which is something at the beginning of the season, he if wasn't I would have told you that, you would have laughed at me.
He wasn't doing, and everybody was saying, we have to trade him. We have to. He cannot be on this team next year. People were saying he was that bad, and he's that much of a bust.
He wasn't producing. And that's at the end of the day, if you're number two overall pick,
you do have to produce.
You have to be expected to
produce. I think at the beginning of the season, it was just a matter of just pucks weren't bouncing his way. I think now.
Now, you saw games where he just wasn't there.
And you did. No, you did. But when you're also on this, when this team is also really, really, really bad, that's going to happen.
But again, if you play your way to bottom 6 minutes, there's a reason for that.
Yeah. And that's true too. But now.
Because hockey coaches, they don't just reward production. They reward work.
Yeah.
They reward everything else.
Yep.
And at the beginning of the season, you weren't seeing enough of that from Sam Reinhart. Now, he's playing that way. He's playing the way that he was doing last season, which is fine with me. If you're able to produce that way, I'll take it.
Yeah.
He's putting up a point per game since 2018 turned.
Mm-hmm. His shooting percentage has gone up dramatically, too. He's up to 11.2 right now.
And that's good. That means he's working hard and he's making things happen. He's creating his own luck.
Yeah.
And sometimes in hockey, that's just how it's got to go.
That 11.2, based on games played, is second on the team behind Pouliot. But Sam Reinhart has also got twice as many shots as Pouliot.
He's creating his own luck again.
Yeah.
You know, that goal against Toronto, he skates right across the slot ready for the screen and then bam, tip it.
Yeah.
Wrist the line and shoots that wide because he knows Reinhardt's cutting in front.
Yep.
It's a design.
Yep. Then you got Reinhardt
getting into it with Freddie Anderson in that game against Toronto.
Yeah.
He ran into him once. He got tripped. And then he took a penalty from a goaltender interference standpoint.
Yeah.
He's not playing scared. He's getting back to what he was doing best.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a big guy. He just knows how to get to the net.
Yeah.
And how to fight against it.
He's fine. I think he's... We know Reinhardt isn't the best skater. We know this. And we know Helsley loves the really good skaters. However,
Reinhardt's got something, though, that not many do.
The IQ.
The hockey smarts.
Exactly.
He's smart.
He's using that to...
He's friggin' smart.
He's so friggin' smart. He's using that to give himself an advantage over the players who are faster than him. He's thinking of these plays, and he's making plays happen before they happen.
And now, back to what I was saying, though, about the Eichel watching. Reinhardt was guilty of that.
Yes.
You know, when you're on a line with Jack Eichel, sometimes you're mesmerized by what he can do.
Yep.
You have to just keep moving.
Yep.
And sometimes sometimes his line mates got caught Eichel watching.
And there was, before Eichel got hurt in January came in.
But that doesn't explain the lack of depth scoring on this team.
No, but let me... When January started, before Eichel gets hurt, you were starting to see that turn, that flip from Reinhardt. He's using his hockey IQ a lot more, and he's being able to feed Eichel and they're able to work together a lot better.
And it's not just him. Kyle Posto looks healthy again.
Yep.
Rasmus Ristolainen is playing really well.
Yep.
Ryan O'Reilly's picked it up offensively.
Yep. Same. Yep.
You're kind of seeing your guys being your guys again.
Yeah, and that's what we want.
Now the problem is...
For the rest of the season.
Tim Murray stripped this team so bare, the bottom six remains a huge issue.
Yes.
Needs to be fixed. First step I would go with, by the way, maybe bring back Benoit Pouliot on another 1 year deal. If he doesn't price himself out,
I don't think he will.
You know, I don't think he will. He could do it.
I think so.
It's not a terrible idea.
It's not.
But you need to retool a lot of that bottom six.
Yeah.
Because outside of Pouliot, there's no one really all that productive.
At least based on...
I'm just saying production-wise.
Yeah.
Gergensen's has been snake-bitten.
Yeah.
That man can't buy a break.
Yeah. Likely, I think what you want to see in the offseason...
I don't mind Scott Wilson.
No, I don't mind him either. I want to bring him back as a fourth liner.
I'm done with Johan Larson.
Yeah. I think I'm done with Gergensen's and Larson. I think those are two guys that you got to move. Get whatever you can. If you could get picks this year, that's even better. So you could restock, you know, try to restock the prospect pool. You do that. Re-sign Scott Wilson. I'd love to re-sign Benoit Pouliot. Mm-hmm. I would love to. I want to see them try to. Bring back guys. You got to, you know, you just traded for Daniel Regan. Bring him back. You know, see what
we'll
you
see
can
what
do
happens.
Out of him.
He got recalled. He's not going to play against
Calgary.
He's not
playing tonight, but you're probably going to see him against Ottawa.
Yeah,
and maybe against Vegas. We'll see. Mick Baptiste, he needs a new contract. That's easy to do. But he's a guy you want to see come into that bottom six role as well and be an effective player. Evan Rodriguez, you got another year with him. He's another guy.
I think Rodriguez is your third line center next year.
I think so too.
He played very well since getting called up.
I think so. Absolutely. I'm with you on that. Yeah. I think he's playing himself into that third line center role and a very effective one too because he's got the speed.
And if you can get him a line mate that can wheel, you might really get some great consistent production out of him.
Maybe it's Daniel Regan. Maybe your third line next year can be.
If O'Regan could put himself into a third line immediately upon trading and getting those picks. I don't care what happens. Won the trade.
Maybe that could happen. Or he could be on the fourth line too. But maybe you have a third line where that could be. Especially if O'Regan plays well while he's up here. O'Regan on the left wing, Rodriguez at center, Baptiste.
You want to know what's funny about that Kane trade, by the way? Even if the Sharks win the trade, the Sabres win the trade.
It's true.
Because think about it here. Because if they win the cup, the Sabres get a first.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kane could bail and we still get the first.
Mm-hmm.
Won the trade.
Yeah.
Or if they sign Kane to a long-term deal, yeah, they win the trade because you get Kane for a long time and he's going to produce for you for a long time. But guess what? We get that first-round pick. Won the trade.
And then you also got to look at some of the guys coming up as well. You know, a lot of people are expecting CJ Smith to make the jump next year too. Does Hudson Fashing make that jump as well? So maybe with these young guys coming up, it might push a guy like Benoit Pouliot out. However, I think you should re-sign him anyway, because what if a guy like CJ Smith or a guy like Hudson Fashing needs another year in Rochester? Benoit Pouliot can take his spot.
Yes.
So when you mentioned re-sign Pouliot, I have no problem with that.
Also, I'm gonna yell it for those in the back. The Sabres aren't better without Eichel. Shut up.
And you know what? You still got Pominville for one more year as well. I know he hasn't been the best, but you know what?
Maybe he plays a third line role next season.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe, or a fourth line role. I mean, you don't know. We don't know what they're going to do, because now going into next year, you got Eichel's contract. You got to re-sign Sam. You're going to re-sign Sam Reinhardt, and he's not going to cost a lot.
That's going to be a bridge.
I think a 3-year deal.
Reinhardt's getting
two or three years, probably around the $4 million range.
Yeah,
I would say,
and that's a fair measuring stick.
Fair. Yep.
Because
if you play well enough,
you're going to get your raise. If you don't, well, that's probably the one you're going to get paid on your per year basis, bud.
True. Regan's going to get a new contract. Baptiste will. I'm just looking at guys right now. Jordan Nolan's not coming back.
Casey Mittelstadt might be in the AHL next year.
We'll see.
I said the AHL.
Well,
that's where he's going to start. If he signs with Buffalo after this season.
If he signs
right away, Botchel's going to put him in the AHL. He's going to want him to develop, get used to the pro game, get used to a pro schedule, kind of like what, you know, Vancouver was healthy scratching Brock Besser in the start of the season.
Yeah.
Because they knew he wouldn't be used to the daily grind of the NHL.
Right.
Botchel would put Mittelstadt probably into the AHL for that reason.
Yeah. And but that's assuming he signs.
And you know what? I really do believe he could. I don't know how much more he can prove at the college level. I mean,
we don't know. We don't know yet.
We don't know, but I've got this.
But we got to also see how the rest of the Minnesota season plays out.
I've got this.
Well, actually, I think their season's over.
Yeah.
Is it over?
I think Penn State knocked them.
I'm going to look real quick. Big Ten hockey. Let's look this.
I think Penn State knocked them.
I think so. Just want to look. Let's go to bracket. Let's go to the bracket.
Brackets.
Let's go to the bracket.
Speaking of brackets.
Ooh. Let's see. Yeah. Yeah.
Penn State knocked them out.
Yep. 2-0. They won the series. Penn State's
playing.
Yeah,
they won back-to-back games, but Mittelstadt had 5 points in those two games.
He did. So.
So it wasn't Mittelstadt's fault. But Mittelstadt might look at that and go, well, what else can I do if this team.
Yeah, Minnesota had a real up and down year.
Yeah.
They were at one point, looked like they weren't even going to make the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
And they found a way to make it. So good for them. Good for them. Now, I think now that the season's over, I think they're going to wait a little bit, maybe wait another week, let the, you know, think the emotions of the season wind down for Mittelstadt, let him, you know, go into the off season, but or at least potential off season, and then talk to Mittelstadt, talk to his people, see where they're at. Batra will explain where he's at with them, and then they'll figure out if they feel he is ready to make the jump, they're going to sign him. And that's to the NHL. I think there's a very possibility that they can sign him to an ATO, an amateur tryout contract, and have him play in Rochester the rest of the year.
I think they'll just sign him to his deal and then put him through the first year of Rochester.
Well, I don't know how this works, and I've been trying to figure this out. If they sign Mittelstadt to an entry-level contract, does that first year get burned regardless?
That's what I'm saying. It's about next year. I don't think he comes in this year.
Okay.
I think it's next year. Like, what happens is they're going to say, we're going to sign you. You're just not playing this year. We're not burning the first year of this for you to play 17 games.
So then the question would be, when would they sign? So then they would sign him once the Sabre season ends.
Yes.
And do they have him go to Rochester to play in the playoffs?
No. I think they sign him when. They sign him for next season.
Okay. So then this would probably be then like a May signing.
Yes.
Or a June signing.
Exactly.
Once Rochester season's over.
I get
the feeling. Because if they sign him, they got to have him on one of the rosters.
Yes.
So, okay. So that would make sense then.
My suspicion is he's going to be on Rochester next year, and it's going to be starting next year.
Okay. I can totally see that.
So we'll see what happens there.
But we don't know. But we don't know.
Sky is not falling. That's what I do know.
They might feel like he's ready to make that NHL jump.
They may.
But we don't know.
And we'll see.
And yeah, so
Cooley, Casey Nelson have looked good.
Yep. Casey Nelson needs a contract too.
Casey Nelson needs a contract. I think that's an easy one to do.
Not that hard. Although he is a UFA, but like I said, not that hard.
You put him on a bridge deal.
Do you re-sign Victor Antipin?
I mean, it's an RFA.
I would do it.
I would do it.
Yeah.
Give him 1 year.
What's going to happen with goaltending?
That's
I don't know.
A new question, but those are questions for later.
Yeah.
And you know what else? We're out of here, so later. Thanks for always listening here on the Leftovers Podcast.
Don't forget. Basketball. UB Women's plays tonight.
Ooh, that's right.
At 5. UB Men's plays tomorrow, Thursday, at noon. St. Bonaventure plays Friday at 6.
Get it.
Watch it.
Get it.
Go Bulls. Go Bonnies.
Get it.
Get it.
Well, thank you for listening as usual. My name is Derek Kramer.
And I'm Frank R. Curry.
You've been listening to the Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Derek Kramer WGR.
I'm at Frank R. Curry.
The spelling's in the description.
Yes, it will be.
So you don't have to worry about spelling his name. You can just copy it or find it.
And it's not that hard to find.
They're not hard to find.
That's true.
I don't know what that was about. Shut up.
I don't know, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to Google it.
Shut up, Frank.
All right, fine.
Thanks for listening. Listen to some other shows on demand while you're at it. Later.